Coming up on TMS, 19 crazy facts about everyone's favorite film.
We have an update on Mendoza.
Pilots and crews have a bad risk, it turns out.
Another plane had a seat problem.
Okay, I think it's the one you were telling me about. Kaylee Cuoco, is that how you say it? Kaylee Cuoco.
Cuoco Sweeting Arquette.
Is putting on a good face about all this.
Game of Thrones shockers incoming.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Has Wayne Newton split with his wife and hit the jackpot with his new romance? Inquiring minds want to know.
I want to know.
Can you lose weight by switching from celery to sweets? This week's National Enquirer tells you. How can you put office troublemakers in their place? What curse of death and disaster haunts the Super Bowl?
It's in the Enquirer.
What bizarre surprises popped up on Caroline's wacky honeymoon? Find out in the Enquirer. Over 100 features for people with inquiring minds.
Like me.
What is all this equipment? The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. You're soaking in it.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream, TMS, as it's called in some circles. It's me, Scott Johnson. It's him, Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Scott. God, I love the stuff you dig up. That inquiring, that National Enquirer thing.
Isn't that great?
Again, haven't heard it in forever, but I totally remember those commercials and that intro music. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
You know what's great about it is the stuff he's barking out. Today it would be, you know, Angelina and Brad secretly marry over the weekend.
We've
got the scoop or whatever. But back then,
Jennifer Lawrence won't share her butt with you.
Exactly. But freaking Wayne Newton and his new girlfriend? Oh, my gosh.
I know. Oh, people cared about that at some point. That's awesome.
I guess. And the funny thing is, it definitely wasn't even, I think that was for my mom. I don't think that was for me in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
But today, they'd talk about things that mattered now, like Miley Cyrus licked a pole. Find out more on this issue. And, right. You know, that's for the kids. But back then, I think it was all for
an older crowd. Yeah, yeah.
Really weird. Wayne Newton and his new girlfriend. <Wayne Newton. laughs> Swap celery for sweets. Is that possible? Rah! Anyway, from garbage commercial television.
Mimi Van Doren. Back from the dead? What? Find out in the Enquirer.
I mean, it's weird. Very weird. Anyway, we're here. We're doing it. We got a show to do. It's a Thursday show. That means two things. Means this show, and then later today we got another one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. We call that one TMS PM.
Thursday.
Yeah. Right. It's a PM edition. It's a nighttime one. You guys earned it. You unlocked it on our Patreon at patreon.com/TMS. That's why it exists. Very possible that one Bill Duran will join us hanging out in studio here. He won't be on camera because I don't have a way to shoot over there, but he'll be sitting there talking, yapping.
He'll be via voice.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have some way, by the way, when he shows up, do you have some way of like a DNA test or something to make sure it's him and not his brother?
Yeah. There's a mole on the left testicle I am told is the marker to tell
that
the difference between the two.
Right. That is the...
But the problem is I'm not told which one has the mole and which one doesn't. So I still really don't know.
So really it was just a way for them to show you their testicles.
Yeah, yeah. Which is now starting to settle in. I'm starting to understand the whole point.
Leaked testicle photos.
Yep, that's right. Hacked out of his phone. Actually voluntarily put on the internet. Hey, do you remember The Princess Bride? Is that a thing you fondly look back on?
That sounds familiar. That was... Do you remember The Princess... Hey, kids, remember Star Wars?
Oh, it was a hell of a time. So the big deal, that movie, it still is. People watch it today, young people, old people, whatever.
It holds up.
Weirdly holds up. Like it's hold up more than I feel like it should.
Well,
like,
it's a different time, you know? I mean, it's not like it's something that's firmly rooted in 80s look and feel because it takes place in a whole different world.
That's true, but there are plenty of 80s fantasy movies that have like synthy soundtracks or just... The acting or the way they was shot or whatever, you definitely look back and go, ugh, that didn't age well. Something about this movie, though, I don't know what it is. I swear there's the guy that has the most to do with this is probably, no one knows his name. It's probably the director of photography or cinematographer or somebody like that who just shot it in such a way that it didn't feel old. Another movie that does this really well, except for you know how old the actors are, but if you take that out of the equation, Apocalypse Now is really good at fooling you into thinking this was just made yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. looks new.
I haven't seen that since, I would say, probably 1988, I think was... I can remember a group of us in the living room of my old apartment watching Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, well, that was Apocalypse then.
That was Apocalypse then, and so much has happened since Apocalypse Now.
They have it on. They have the whole 3-hour recut master deal on Netflix and Amazon, I believe, and that's where I watched it recently. And it's really, really, really good. Young Harrison Ford in a very small cameo role.
Mm-hmm.
This is before any of his hitting it big with anything,
right?
Anyway. Point is, for whatever reason, Princess Bride totally holds up, and I found a list of what is being referred to as 19 inconceivable facts about the making of the Princess Bride. Would you, Brian Ibbett, like to hear these?
Of course I would.
Well, here's number one. Cary Elwes, you know, man star of the movie.
Right.
Almost missed out on playing Wesley.
Man star.
Because of Chernobyl.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
So check this out.
Do tell.
In 1986, when Rob Reiner, director, Meathead, you know him, and producer Andrew Scheinman were casting the movie, Elwes was in Berlin shooting Maschenka, whatever that is. The pair was understandably trepidatious about traveling to see him, given the uncertainty surrounding the health risks in the aftermath of the Chernobyl disaster. Exaster? The hell kind of word is that? I made that up. Since he was so close to the then Ukrainian SSR. He said, so basically it boiled down to this. Those two did not want to go over there and talk to him, but he couldn't leave. And they only wanted, that was the only way they were going to be able to, like, you know, talk to him and get him in the movie. So they almost didn't go and they would have just hired somebody else. So there
you
go.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I wonder who else they would have considered for that role.
Yeah.
Or is that something maybe we find out?
Yeah. Number two, according to this, Elwes also aced his audition thanks to Fat Albert. Now, let me explain that.
Okay.
While casually chatting with Reiner and Scheinman, probably, Elwes broke out into a Fat Albert impression that killed. Quote, he was just naturally funny guy. I thought, wow, this guy could really do it, Reiner recalled in the book. He did have to formally audition as well, but they say that the reason that they picked him is they remembered his Fat Albert routine. So they hired him for that.
That's funny.
That's really weird. Hey, hey, hey. Colin Firth and Danny DeVito.
As you wish.
I don't think that would have been the intent, but yes.
No.
Your point well taken. Colin Firth and Danny DeVito were considered for roles. That's true. Danny DeVito was considered for Vizzini.
Sure.
Vizzini. What did I say? Vizzini?
Vizzini.
Colin Firth was...
I don't think that word is pronounced the way you think it is.
I don't think so. Arnold Schwarzenegger was Fezzik, or was going to
sure,
be.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, but that didn't happen. Let's see. I'm going to skip ahead.
Sting
here.
As Humperdinck.
Yeah, Sting as Humperdinck.
That's crazy.
Well, tantric Humperdinck. let's see. Andre the Giant had a nifty technique to memorize his dialogue. Check this out. Andre the Giant was native French, as you know. Ho, ho, ho. He spoke French. Needed some help memorizing his lines. Rob Reiner, who recorded all of Fezzik's lines, or Fezzik's rather, for Andre to listen to, says this, quote, I acted it out for him and he studied it over and over and he got it, Reiner wrote. Andre would walk around in headphones with the tape playing all the time, listening, figuring it out and working it out. And so he just listened to Meathead talk. Yeah.
That's really funny.
That's kind of good. And what a nice thing for a director to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to skip ahead here. The movie shared some DNA with Star Wars. Reiner hired Peter Diamond and Bob Anderson to choreograph the sword fights, which is all the Star Wars movies featured their work for lightsaber duels. Skipping ahead here. The author of the book, William Goldman, was literally praying for success on the set. That's kind of awesome. Let's see. Elwes up Wesley's. I don't care about that. Okay, Andre self-medicated because he was in constant pain. Did you know this? He was always hurt. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, like just wrestling injuries and...
Plus, he just has a...
His weird
condition that, you know, created him anyway. That's interesting. Wallace Shawn was convinced he was going to get fired. Why, this is weird. All right. Billy Crystal and Carol Kane ad-libbed their best lines. So they're all their best scenes where they're playing those rickety old people.
Yeah. I don't doubt that. It seems like those two, the stuff they do feels so natural that it had to be ad-libbed. They're great at that kind of stuff. So, sure.
How about this one? Fred Savage and Peter Falk never met the other actors, not even once. Remember, they're in the beginning sitting around reading the book.
Sure. Well, that makes sense, too.
Yeah.
They're just, you know, they're in one studio and.
Let's see. I guess Elvis injured himself during the film and then spent the entire movie hiding it from everybody, cast and crew. Nobody had any idea he was hurt. He didn't want to slow down production, but you can see in this scene, this animated GIF where he is sitting very gingerly.
Yeah, right.
I don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
And let's see. There was a never filmed alternate ending.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if I care about that. Let's see. The film was sealed with a kiss by Elvis. Okay, there you go. Well, there's your facts. Some of them aren't as inconceivable as they would have us believe.
A lot of them are very conceivable.
Yeah, I can conceive of most of them. In fact, they seem probable, downright probable. Okay, I got a quick update on Mendoza, the goose.
All right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I went out yesterday for a trip around the island. I was just going to run around this middle bit and thought, well, should check on the bird while I'm at it. And as I came around the other side, that's where I would see him. That's his haunts, you know, kind of where his headquarters are or whatever, his gang headquarters. I come around the side, and there he is. He's out in the water a little ways, which hasn't worked well for me. You know, that's kind of his domain. I have no real control over him there.
Sure, sure.
So
he's outside of your jurisdiction.
Yeah, yes. Today, my jurisdiction ends here, as famously read by John Cleese in The Silverado. Anyway, so he's out there swimming halfway out into the lake, and he's got a bunch of ducks around him, as usual. Okay, just a big gaggle of, no, that's geese. What do you call a bunch of ducks? Bunch of ducks? I guess that's good enough.
Yeah, I don't know what you call a bunch of ducks.
Yeah, what are they? A duckard? I don't know what it is. I have no idea. Everything I'd say now would be making it up.
A squane of ducks.
A squane, okay. There is a squane of ducks around the kingpin. And I stop and I look out there and he's not looking at me. And I go, hey! Like that. Just a simple little, hey! And he doesn't do anything.
He's Ray Romano all of a sudden?
Hey! Hey! I was watching Parenthood, and he's in that last season of Parenthood there. Did you know that, Ray Romano?
Yeah, He was hooking up with Lauren Graham.
Yeah, or no. Her name's not Lauren Graham, is it?
Her name is Lauren Graham.
No. Is it?
Yeah, it's Lauren Graham.
Wait. Are you sure? The Gilmore Girl lady, right?
Right, yeah.
Is it? It's Lauren Graham. Damn it.
Lauren Graham. Yeah.
You're right. It sounded wrong for some reason.
I was just going to see how long. By the way, group of ducks is called a battlenage, bunch, brace, flock, padding, raft, or team, or a dover of ducks. If it's a group of ducklings, then they are a brood.
Okay. Well, it was a dover then, or you get one of those was really good.
Let's say a paddling of ducks.
All right. A paddling of ducks around the goose. And I go, hey.
I like that one of them is a bunch.
Yeah. A bunch of ducks. So I go, hey, like that. He doesn't turn around, but he just lifts his head in the air a little bit and goes, ah! And then the ducks around, like three of the ducks that have been with him the whole time, promptly turn my direction and swim over to the edge of the lake and stare at me. Really? I'm making that up. Nope.
Oh, my God.
They came over. Now, it's very possible they just thought I had bread. It's possible. Right. A million things are possible. They may have just been coming there anyway, and I just happened to catch them right before just they did.
Weird timing, but that seems odd.
But I feel like the kingpin told some of his cronies, his thugs, to go keep an eye on me. That's what that felt like to me.
Wow.
So I took that, I took that for what it was, and I walked away a little, out of the corner of my eye, keeping my eye on him out there. But he's just got his neck raised high out in the lake going, you're never going to get me, copper.
That's right, exactly.
So...
You're not worth my time. Exactly. I'm going to send Vinny and and Pokey out after you.
Probably smashed another duck's head with a baseball bat last night around a dinner table, for all I know.
Right.
So I'm not done. This
you
isn't
go
over.
Against the paddling.
This isn't over. I'm not done with this duck or this goose. Or
oh,
with this,
no.
Whatever this is, this organized foul crime unit.
Right.
but I'm going to find out, and I'm going to go again today if I can. In fact, I may take Bill out there when he gets here.
So there's another witness?
Yeah, so he can see the whole thing. Maybe he can even film it.
Or do you feel better about having somebody else there with you?
Yeah, I mean, in a way, strength in numbers, right? I mean, Elliot Ness didn't go turn over those beer barrels by himself. He took that
right.
He took that guy from Ocean's 11. What's his name? I can't think of his name. That guy. Who's the guy from Ocean's 11?
Andy Garcia.
Andy Garcia took him with him.
Yeah.
He knew the score. Anyway, I'll report back on that.
They send one of yours to the hospital. You send two of theirs back to Duck Island.
You take them back to the morgue. Oh, that movie's great. We should watch that movie. That music. Anyway, moving on. I really do love it. And it's got, you know, it's got what's his name, who I like a lot in there. You know, it's got your what's his name? Your Waterworld. Kevin Costner.
Oh.
Not Kim Coates. Kim Coates.
Kim Coates.
No. He's not the most important. Sadly, he's not the most important thing in Waterworld. But
I might disagree, but okay. I'll go along with what you say.
All right. Let's play a mashup.
Kim Coates peed on paper.
Right. Yeah. You ever seen paper? Oh, it's paper. Smell it. You can smell it. Mashup today. You want to hear a mashup?
Yeah.
Okay. Once in a while, very infrequently, but occasionally we get a mashup from our friend Freakish Lemon. He's been doing this on and off since the beginning of the show. And whenever it happens, I get super excited. He takes older episodes, mashes them all up, and we have a good time with it. This is episodes 366 through 378. And it's a hoot. So here it is. I'm going to play it now. Enjoy. Major spoilers.
Weird web.
And shite. This is my thing. Just hold on a second. Google Docs. And what are you doing?
I'll do it. And your email on this very special episode of The Morning Stream.
Yay. He's been around enough, so he's not going to put bubble gum in your hole.
Maybe I'll pop out my boob and take a photo of it from Earth with Earth in the background. This person's obviously Speedy McFeely over here. Or what is that? Not Speedy McFeely.
Mr. McFeely?
Mr. McFeely and Speedy Gonzalez. I just put them together.
Well, no, they're saying it's made in a factory where nut dust might have traveled over.
Commander Paris, I need someone to help file off my corns in the ready room. My nipples are both cracked and bleeding.
I like to keep my nutbag upstairs.
Let's get to some quick celebrity pie. All right, poop pie.
And it's brought to you by the Help Awake, Help Make, Holy Crap, Help the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
It was like chewing your grandma's hair.
Now, we were really hoping we'd get a chance to talk to you. It's my sad duty to report that this is the only day that I was going to be available on the morning stream.
I have references from several soldiers from the Civil War.
That made me forget about the tiger penis on this doll I'm holding.
This guy complaining about that is like David Bowie complaining that the pull string on his Bazooka Joe bubblegum wrapper ripped part of the comic strip.
I have no context for any of that.
No, me neither.
As
usual. So long ago, like 300 episodes ago, but that's what's great. Oh, yeah. We used to do something called Weird Web, huh?
Yeah, remember that? That was a quaint moment in time. All right, there you go. That's
gone the way of Thing of the Day.
Yeah, remember Thing of the Day? Oh my gosh, Thing of the Day.
Thing of the Day.
Didn't that quietly died too? I didn't tell
it
anybody.
Did. Yeah.
I just said, I'm not doing it. Let's see if anyone noticed. And you know what?
Nobody did. Right.
So, wise man's folly or something. All right.
Something like that.
We're calling Daryl. Here's this damn thing that we play before he comes. Blah, blah, blah. Yes. What is this? Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by
light, crisp, and refreshing conspiracy theories and chatter. It's the Weekly Bleep Podcast. Great paranormal taste that won't slow you down. TheWeeklyBleep.com.
Wow. Daryl, you there?
Don't put bubblegum in your hole.
Yeah, what was that about? What were you saying there?
No idea.
Oh, that's a strange thing to say. I'll tell you that much. Should it bother me that I have two? So I've got two water bottles, same brand here. Okay. One is, they're both Kirkland. These are from Costco, where they make both toilet paper and chili. Come to your own conclusion there. And one is about an inch fuller of water. Neither are open. The seals aren't broken.
Okay.
One is an inch fuller of water than the other. Should that bother me? Should that make me worry? Does that lack of uniformity say more about me than it does about just normal everyday production quality of water bottling?
It's probably the Q&A or not Q&A, QA department at Kirkland Water.
Yeah.
I
don't do this.
Slipping.
It's just that when you get bottled water, you think, oh, it's made somehow by gods and Asgard, you know, like it's all perfectly done and there's no way this came out of a tap or any of that kind of thinking. But sure. The truth of it is, it's probably horrible. It's probably some guy dipping a can out of a toilet and pouring these in here and just barely.
It's like holding empty plastic bottles in a in a metal tin.
Yeah.
A big bucket.
Yeah. Kind of like yesterday we learned that. You know, saltine crackers are made in a cowboy tub. Daryl, speaking of cowboy tubs and water being half full, it's good to have you on the show.
Good to be back.
Let's do some Star Trek trivia today because Daryl does that. He comes on the show. He is our Star Trek villain. He knows all of the Star Trek trivia there is to know, and he tries to answer a hard question all about Star Trek in some form. Usually it's original series or TNG. Occasionally we veer from that. This one is... Bread and Circuses. So we're going back to the original here.
I need to watch that again.
I know, because we keep doing questions from it. By the way, there's a challenge here. Tonight, Daryl takes the saltine challenge. This is from Mike. Mm-hmm. Mike will be taking it later and putting it on YouTube. You're going down, home slice, he says. So, yeah. Good luck with that.
Do you have your saltines there? I guess you're doing this at home, right?
Yes, at home.
Yeah. In case something goes wrong.
Yeah.
You have a...
Yeah, back up.
Dial 9-1 and just, you know, leave it there just in case something goes wrong.
Paramedics are standing by. Yes.
What's the challenge of it? What's supposed to go wrong?
So here, let's tell you.
Nothing's supposed to go wrong. You're just not supposed to be able to eat six saltines in 30 seconds. Is that the deal?
Yeah, let me pull it up and just make sure I give you the official rules. So here's the rules. Saltine Cracker Challenge, or simply Saltine Challenge, is a food challenge, a competition, which a person has to have six saltines down the gullet, swallowed and gone, with no water or help of anything, no drinking of any kind, in 60 seconds or less. So when you do this, you have 60 seconds, Daryl. Six saltines down the hole and out. You have to, like, as much as I lament
well,
this.
Not out.
That's well, not out, no. But as much as I lament this, you're going to have to, like, open your maw on the camera and show us that you've, you know, devoured it all.
I don't think there's any way that this will be successful, but I will try anyway.
It's only six, man. It's a little tiny stack. It's nothing.
I'm actually going to be doing a challenge at the same time.
What's that?
Which is to make Daryl laugh so that he spews a cloud of saltine dust on camera.
Brilliant. That I want to see.
That will be my challenge.
Yeah, good luck with your challenge. And it's not, I've done this and I couldn't do it. But I believe in Daryl and I have faith that he'll give it a good college try. So
I don't.
Well, time will tell. In the meantime, here's a question to make your brain move, and here it is. In the original series episode Bread and Circuses, the Enterprise discovers the wreckage of the SS Beagle. Spock gives Kirk a report on this. Chekhov also reports that they are coming up on a planet. What class of ship does Spock say the SS Beagle was?
Snoopy class.
The Snoopy class. Was it A, class 2, B, class 3, C, class 4, or D, class 5? So your options are class 2, 3, or sorry, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now, you don't have to answer yet. That's the best part about this show. Oh, I didn't bring anything over here. What are we doing today? Oh,
yeah, that's a good question.
I hate when
what do
I
we
forget.
Got? Beaver Twiglets?
I don't know. I already ate those. You guys should test those.
Well, yeah, we'll eat those. Well, let's see if Daryl has them.
Daryl, do you have your Twiglets?
We also have a licorice pipe.
Oh, yeah, the licorice pipe.
What do I have here?
Do you have your licorice pipe?
I know where mine is if he has it.
Is this in the Tartanky box?
Yes. Yeah, the same box as the Tartanky.
Tartanky, Balaton.
Actually, are you hungry?
Are you hungry?
It's in the same box as the Lavabread.
Lavabread?
Lavabread.
A Lavabread.
The traditional Welsh delicacy that... From the picture, looks like the thing that killed Tasha Yar in a bowl with some peppers.
Oh, wow. What is it again?
It's looking for the pipe, the licorice pipe.
That sounds horrible, and I'm not seeing it in here.
Not
I'm looking a different.
Also came in the same box as a little package of those flying saucer packing material things. Multicolored flying saucer packing material.
Yeah, I remember those. I'm just looking in the wrong file cabinet.
I wouldn't be all sad if we didn't eat that pipe. So if he didn't find
they
it,
are.
Oh, you found
it's
it?
Not, see, the thing is, it's not going to be salty licorice, so it's going to be far better than the licorice we have had.
Well, that's what you say. You say. All right, I'm going to go grab it. Hang on.
All right.
Well, I'm looking for the pipe. I don't see that. I see
it's in a small
things.
Priority mailbox.
Oh, I take them out of the boxes, so I don't have that.
Well, that doesn't help anybody.
There's all kinds of weird... Oh, that's like a rocket or something in here.
Really?
Pelon Pelo Rico. It's like a little rocket thing.
All right, I found it. Licorice pipe it is. Did you find yours, Daryl?
He's still looking.
No. Oh. It's got a little pink bullcrap on the front of it. I mean, this really is just like a piece of licorice that's bent into the shape of a pipe. It's super
I guess
dumb.
I don't have that.
Oh, I could have sworn you had this. I thought you even mentioned it before. Because we talked about how we are not looking forward to more licorice.
Is that from TB and Wordy Waters or something?
Wordy Waters?
From the sweet shop in Trinity Square in Exminster.
Yes. Oh.
TB and Wendy Walters. That's what I'm looking at. Is that the...
I don't know.
The note?
I can tell you. Yes, it did come from TB and Wendy Walters. You're on the right track.
Yep. That's right. That. One step closer. Two steps back. Well, all right. Let's do this. You take a thing. What?
Hold on a second. I think they sent these to the wrong people because, Scott, you weren't supposed to get a licorice pipe.
Oh. Was this supposed to go to Daryl?
According to the notes.
Oh. All right. Well, this even be worse then. Because why would that be, though? Because Daryl doesn't like licorice either, black licorice.
I know. Well, yeah. It just says, number 5, licorice pipe. Scott doesn't get this. I know how you feel about licorice. Old treat for the sweet shop.
Oh. All right. Well, why isn't... I got a question to ask. We'll go ahead and taste test this, Daryl. You can grab something random. But what is the point of this in the shape of a pipe?
Well, it's like the same idea as candy cigarettes, right? Your kids see you smoking a pipe, and so they want to be like dad.
Okay, but this
same exact.
But this is such a fiddly little looking pipe. Like it's small.
This is what a leprechaun would smoke.
Okay, all right. since those are real, I'm going to take your word for it.
This is what a drawn leprechaun would be drawn smoking.
That's right. All right. Well, I'm going to give it a shot. I don't really know how to bite into this. Where do you do it? Just wherever?
Well, you could either bite the end with the little...
with the jimmies on it?
Pink balls on it?
Yeah.
Or the smoking end. I don't know.
I'll do the smoking.
The burning end or the...
I'm going to try. All right. It's really hard. Oh. Yep, I already hate it. Oh, boy. Daryl, be glad you didn't get this. It's bad.
You know, it just tastes... This is so much better than salted licorice that we've had recently. That
yeah, I'll give you that, but...
It's a welcome change.
Still in the same... It's the same family. I mean, Charlie Manson's kind of a pain, but his brother's kind of a dick, too. It's like that. all right. Daryl, what'd you grab?
Well, I guess the easiest thing would be just one of these disc things.
Yeah, eat a disc thing. Mm-hmm. Is it the ones in the little styrofoam packing? Or no? Yeah,
those are the styrofoam packing.
Yeah, these are the styrofoam packing.
Are you supposed to eat the packing?
I think.
I hope so. I hope so. If you're, I mean, since you're doing it.
Well, here I go.
Okay.
Yeah. Ugh. Ugh.
Are you sure you're supposed to not just open them?
Oh, no. You're supposed to eat it. They dissolve.
Oh.
And it's filled with some kind of tart, sugary, lemony sort of powder.
Yeah. Little jimmies.
Yeah, little jimmies. Little jimmies. L-I-L apostrophe.
I don't like it.
Yeah, you shouldn't like that. That's a terrible idea for candy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if you sat down a big focus group of children and said, hey, how do you like your candy? I like it in packing peanuts in the form of tiny tart balls. That kid gets kicked out.
Right.
No one wants to play with that kid. All right. Well, congrats to everyone involved. Brian, what do you think of that? You like your licorice, so you probably
I like licorice. So I'm totally happy with the licorice pipe.
All right.
I'll consume this whole thing over the course of the day.
Wonderful. Well, there's that. We've all
found... Big thanks, by the way, to TB and Wendy.
Yeah.
From Laverne, California. Big thanks. And
well, it's just right next to Shirley, California, right? It's not
right next to Shirley.
You know,
yes.
Laverne and Shirley, get
Shlemiel,
it?
Shlemazel, yes.
There you go. Good job.
Just as the intersection of Shlemiel and Shlemazel. We do need to figure out, are we going to do this lava bread thing?
I don't know where mine even is. I'm sure it's, oh, it's over there. Yeah, we should at some point.
A traditional Welsh delicacy. It is like a thick black seaweed goo.
Seaweed's all black. Seaweed's not supposed to be black. All right, we'll
apparently try. It expires March in 2018. So we have until March of 2018.
Oh my gosh. I don't trust any food that lasts that long. That's not good.
Nor should you. That's a long time.
That's like, I don't know. It's like cement should last that long. Food shouldn't. Mm-hmm. All right, let's get back to Daryl, who has a birthday to share with us. Daryl, take it away.
Well, that would be Harold Livingston. He is 90 today and still around. He was the screenwriter for Star Trek The Motion Picture.
Wow. Still around. That would have put him, let's see, that was 80. 81, was it? 82?
80. 1980.
80. Okay. So that would put him, how old would he have been then? Just trying to figure this out. Because in 80, I was 10. So he would have been, I can't do it. So that was 45 years ago. No, 40 years ago. No. 40, no, that wouldn't have been it. 35 years ago. So he would have been 50s. Working on his 60s. Boy, you know, if you lived to 90, that's a long-ass time. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's not just, that's not no small feat. That's a lot. It's a lot of time to be on this planet. You know, that's why I think I'm going to, like right now you don't want to die, right? Like, I'm enjoying life too much and things are great and I don't want to die. But when you're 90, you'd be okay with it. And not because you're like wanting it to come. And I mean, even somebody
just
who's healthy.
You felt like you've had a good full life. And
yeah, at some point you're just like, I'm tired.
I think when you have great-grandchildren, Scott, you'll change your mind.
Maybe. Will I?
Or grandchildren.
By the time I have great-grandchildren, I'll probably be so old, who cares? I won't even know what they are. Someone let the dog in. That's your great-grandson, Poppy. Oh, shit. Like, I'm going to be so old. I just think it'll be, it's the warm embrace. It's like, I can go now, you know? At 95, I'm barely moving as it is. Yeah, my food's all mushed.
I still think that that'll change.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. I don't know. I see a lot of people who are just kind of... My great uncle, Marsden, I talked to the other day. He's 93 right now.
Oh, wow.
And that guy is awesome. Sharp as a tack. Totally cool dude. And I said to him, I said, whoa, that's a lot of ice cream there, Uncle Marsden. And he goes, I'm not going to live much longer. I just got to, you know, like he's just come to grips with it. He seems to know that, I'm not going to be here forever. So may as well enjoy what I got right now. And I don't know. I liked his attitude. It was scrappy. Speaking of scrappy, Daryl's scrappy about Star Trek. What do you think about this question? What's your head say?
I don't like this question.
Why?
Well, it's a number question for one thing.
Oh yeah. You don't like those.
Mm. And I haven't watched this episode in forever because it's not very good.
Yeah. Comes up a lot. I think that's why he uses it, because he knows you don't see it a lot.
Yeah. That needs to change. Class of ship. And they give it a number?
Yep. Class 2, class 3, class 4, and class 5. I think this is before they started doing Excelsior. What are the classes now? They're all like names.
They're names. Yeah.
Can't think of the names.
Like Constitution or...
Constellation or class. Yeah. That kind of thing. They're like science vessels, war vessels. But back then it was just... What do you want to do, Gene? just numbers. Okay. We're rolling. I think that was Star Trek on set in 1960, whatever.
I'm going to say it has to be an odd number. And to make it sound more impressive, it would have to be a high odd number, and so that would be 5.
You think 5, do you? Well,
no, but that's my guess.
Okay, well, let's find out if it's 5. Is it 5? Hold on, is it 5? Perfect week down the turlet.
Shattered.
Let's see, it's a class 4 is what it is. You were close.
Well, close.
Spock says it's class 4. He also says the crew, or what the crew's ship, says the crew of the ship was 47. This is one of the 47s deals. So here you go. I'll play it.
SS Beagle, Small class 4 star drive vessel, crew of 47, commanded by...
Jim, I believe you knew him.
Captain R.M. Merrick.
Yes, at the academy. He was dropped in his fifth year. He went into the merchant service.
Yeah, casual conversation on the bridge, right? there you go. 47. So is that where that started? I didn't know TOS had some 47. I thought that was all TNG.
There were a couple 47s. There was a 47 second thing on the immunity syndrome, I think.
Oh, wow. All right. I didn't know it started that early. And they just carried the tradition on, I guess, in TNG?
Well, I think those were just accidents, those first couple.
Yeah. I bet you the TNG guys were like, those weren't accidents. We're going to put those in. But then Voyager and like DS9 and those guys, they seemed to just forget the code. They weren't interested in playing that game.
Oh, Voyager had a whole bunch of them in there.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Commander Paris, I have 47 pimples on my buttocks. let's see. That's it. You did it badly. You got that one wrong. That's okay. Because tonight you get to earn it all back by putting 6 saltines in your mouth. And by the way, it's not that you have to put the whole stack in at once. You just 6 right, of them, can, 60 right. seconds. That's it.
Right. You can eat them one at a time. You can do like 2 at a time and do them in 3 batches or
mm-hmm. one per
however you want to do it.
You can do one every 10 seconds. Whatever you right. want to do. You got it.
You know, I eat weirdly. Every time I eat something, I have to have something to drink with it.
And, oh, well, that's not going to happen with this.
Yeah, this doesn't happen here. So nope. It's not going to be pretty.
It's going to that's what we're counting on. So be here tonight at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time for Daryl's Great Challenge. For great America, for great captain leader. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's get out of here. That's it. Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. He is This Week in Trek Zone, Daryl Skeels, and you can find him on the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, do you have a game to play with us?
Is this a Star Trek being or an operating system?
Oh! Go.
Symbian.
Symbian. That is totally an OS.
That's a BlackBerry OS, right?
It's like I thought it was the old Nokia one, no?
I know it is a smartphone OS, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was... Yeah, I don't know where. We'll have to look it up. But yes, yeah, Symbian, we say, is an operating system.
Well, Scott has it exactly right. It was a Nokia operating system.
Nicely done.
It was before they gave up and went Android, I think. Because for a long time, that was their thing of choice. And then nobody cared. And so they quit doing it. Oh, the finish. Thanks, Daryl. That was fun. Let's move on to the news.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Elsie's Choice from Rachel M. Stiber. Elise. Elise's Choice. Oh, let me start that over. Elise's Choice by Rachel M. Stiber. Elise and her best friend Anton grew up in the medieval village of Petherlm, where life, though hard, is good. When a stranger arrives in her village injured and unconscious, Elise is taken in by his handsome face and sweet demeanor. An ancient legend makes the village leery of the stranger, and the villagers want nothing more than for him to leave. Elise, however, pays no mind to the silly legend and is shocked to discover that he's no ordinary peasant, as everyone first thought. Before the stranger is strong enough to leave Petherlm, she is forced to make a startling choice between following her dreams and following her heart. Although Elise feels strongly that she made the correct choice, the day soon comes when she and everyone she loves must deal with the repercussions of her choice.
They've given us the entire book, it appears.
Now you've read Elise's Choice. Elise's Choice is available in paperback and ebook format from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Smashwords.
Smashwords. That's cool. What is that? Oh, that reminds me.
That's where they flatten your book and then give you some shoestring fries to go along with it.
Yummy. Yummy. there is a higher than normal risk of skin cancer, it turns out, which is the number one cancer cause, you know, these days is the melanoma.
People sunburning and mm-hmm. yeah.
My brother caught himself a bad case of that from all his kayaking and, it was just about a terrible thing. He ended up catching it before it got to his lymph nodes, but it was pretty bad. High risk of skin cancer though, specifically for pilots and flight crews. This is a brand new study that studied commercial airlines. Yep. They have almost double the risk of getting skin cancer over you or I. That's a lot. Double. Double is always a lot. Published in JAMA Dermatology. It's J-A-M-A. Sounds way cooler for the
JAMA. Kid. JAMA Dermatology. Yeah.
The study was unable to determine what caused the hike in the risk for flight attendants and pilots. Researchers believe it is possible the higher concentration of UV rays in the air could contribute, but not enough data has been collected to establish its cause. Dr. Susan Ortiz-Urda, lead author of the study, finds the statistics very troubling. Melanoma is the deadly form of skin cancer. It affects tens of thousands of people every year in these United States and across the world. She feels that more should be done by the Federal Aviation Commission, the FAA, to protect pilots, and crew from the increased intensity of the sun's rays that fare in the air, that far in the air. So I think this is what it comes down to. You get these guys up 30,000 feet, right?
Right.
The pilots are up there and actually have a cockpit that
is kind of a big window. Well, not even really a big window. That's the craziest part is, you know, the cockpit windows on planes aren't massive. They're not like big, you know, ginormous plate glass windows.
But it sounds like the FA or the rays, maybe the UV rays are actually penetrating the
stronger,
the plane itself. Like, because the flight attendants, they're not in front of windows all the time.
No, but are they saying the flight attendants? Oh, flight crews. You're right. Yeah,
they're counting everybody as being.
Wow, it's like the Fantastic Four and the cosmic rays just penetrating the ship, Jack Kirby drew it.
Right, with way less cool results. these powers suck. You have the power to lay in a bed and have chemo, Excelsior. That sounds terrible. Wow. Yeah, I don't know, man. They should look more into this. That study is troubling. But what a weird thing to find out, you know. Like, I wonder if flight attendants are like, what am I doing?
Yeah. Slather up with sunscreen before. I mean, it's not like they're walking around in Speedos and bikinis. They're, you know, they're fully dressed, fully clothed. Yeah. So it's an interesting.
Sleeve to ankle. Like, they're not, it's not like they're in shorts. Like, well, I guess, you know, don't the Southwest people, they're a little more goofy. Aren't they
running around with t-shirts on and stuff? Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know what helps that because I feel like something's penetrating the plane that it's not actually because of windows, and that's the weird bit.
Ironic name should get points for this. Jet pilots also get skin cancer a lot because of the slow motion volleyball games.
Oh, nice. He can be our wingman anytime. Another plane. Speaking of planes, it's all planes in the news today.
It's all airline news.
Another plane was diverted because of a seat fight. This on the heels of the one we talked about a few days ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, the knee defender fight. Yeah.
Yeah. The flight for an airplane seat supremacy continues this week with a story from Florida. Oh, really? Now it seems too easy. It's in Florida. Mm-hmm. About a plane that was forced to land after an unruly passenger made a fuss about a woman who was trying to recline her seat. The passenger who said he was sitting next to the aforementioned seat recliner during the Monday night flight. Quote, this woman was sitting next to me knitting, actually tried reclining. Why is it always knitting? Someone's always knitting on these
things. This is the same one I told you about yesterday. So this woman reclines her seat and she's knitting. Yeah. Wants to, you know, who doesn't want to recline while they're knitting? I mean, you know, it's kind of, it goes hand in hand.
Yeah.
I'm knitting, therefore I must recline.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to recline.
And the woman behind her was actually sleeping, like had her head on her seat tray, or I'm not her, not her seat tray, but her her table tray, trying to sleep on her table tray.
Yeah.
Her tray table.
Yeah.
And I guess this woman reclined her seat back more or too quickly and caused the whole hubbub.
Well, they had to be landed in Jacksonville, Florida. That's a far cry from the Palm Beach International Airport they were headed to. And I cannot for the life of me understand how something escalates this badly that a flight has to be diverted.
I can kind of figure this out. So traveling, air travel it's a stressful thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and maybe it's gotten more stressful because of the policies and TSA and going through the metal detectors, having to wait in so many different lines just to get on the flight.
Yeah.
And then you're in these little cramped quarters, and the quarters are getting more and more cramped every year because they figure they can get an extra row of seats in if they take out another 3 inches of legroom for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you're tired, you're frustrated, you're cramped, you can't move, you're confined to this little area. and people get a little crazy when that happens. Mm-hmm. You know, they tend to get a little quick-tempered and angry.
But how does the flight get so out of control that they have to divert the plane? That's my main thing. Because I get all that, and I'm with you, and that's why I hate flying. I freaking hate it.
Yeah.
But when does it get so bad that fight between crochet lady and dude is so bad that the pilot's like, nope, that's it. We're landing this plane in Jacksonville. Like, it seems like... Those people are the worst human beings on the plane possible.
I think, well, in this case, it was that the knitting lady demanded that the flight landed. Or maybe it was the sleeping, the tray table sleeper.
Oh, wow. You know what they do to one these people? Them, they ban them from flying ever again, you know, from those airlines.
Yeah, well, that's what happened with the knee defender. The guy who was using the knee defender had to take another airline to get where he was going because he was, I don't know if he was banned just for that day or he was banned by that by that carrier forever. But okay, a little bit, I don't know. I feel like a little bit of this needs to fall on the shoulders of the airlines themselves, who are doing everything in their power to make air travel a more uncomfortable and unpleasant experience.
I agree. We've lost those days where it was like, I'm showing up in my suit with my gal and we're going to take a flight, see? And they were catered to, and right, it was like getting on a ship, and there was real service like oriented stuff going on. Now it is a mad dash for the best deal, the best seat.
It really is.
It's awesome.
Oh, and it's it turns into this everyone for themselves kind of thing, because you know the airlines are taking so much away. Took away our meals. Fine. Okay. At least we still get peanuts. Nope. No more peanuts anymore. Well, at least they still get a plastic cup with the ginormous ice cubes and a splash of a soft drink in there. Nope, that's gone too. Or if you want it, it's going to be $1.99 for a can of Pepsi. It's
gone weird. Like, and yeah, price and rates just keep going up. And look, it sounds like we're complaining old men, but this is the truth. It is
charging me to bring a bag.
Right.
Bag I'm going to shove under your stupid seat.
Yeah, it's bad. It's really bad.
It is bad.
At what point do they start skimping on all the safety stuff? That's what I want to ask. Because right, that's what's next. You've made it completely miserable.
Right.
It's basically,
they're never going to take away the safety stuff. That's the one area where they can.
Well,
right.
They
can take away our comfort.
Hope so. I mean, at what point do they quit caring enough?
Would you like to be in a flotation device row or not? That's going to be an extra $35.
Look, if there's oxygen needed, you're not going to get a bag unless you upgrade $50.
Right. In case of an air pressure problem, a credit card device will appear from the ceiling. Swipe your credit card and an oxygen mask will drop down from
the
ceiling.
Exactly. Oh,
swipe
I'm sorry.
Your child's oxygen mask before doing your own.
Or actually, it's the other way, right? You swipe your own and then
swipe your
kids.
Your own. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. It sucks. And I don't know what you do about it, because I also understand that fuel prices are ridiculous and there's a lot of other reasons why they are forced to do some of these things. It isn't all greed, but like that flight I took, to Tokyo I told you about, where that guy went crazy and punched his wife and punched a stewardess.
Oh, yeah.
We almost went back to Alaska for that, but they didn't. They ended up going all the way to Tokyo. But that was pre-9/11, so I don't know if that made a difference on that flight or not.
Wow. I mean, if there's no other barometer of determining how bad air travel has gotten, Gerard Depardieu had to take a dump in the aisle between the seats. If anything,
Did he really do that?
Yeah, we talked about it on the show.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It was in Celebrity Poop,
oddly enough. I thought he peed or something. I didn't know he took a dump. Really?
I can't remember. Maybe it was just pee, but I know he...
Either way.
He got drunk, angry, and frustrated, and
you know that guy could drop a deuce he'd never forget.
Jeez, we got to step over that guy to get.
Bottom line, airplanes suck. That's what we know from this thing. Airlines suck, and so do people on them. And this just brings out the worst in people sometimes, because it's even more miserable than you plan on. I like nice, short, simple flights. Yeah. That's what I like. Little ones to like small municipal airlines or airports. That's my idea of flying. HelloFresh.com wants you to eat a good meal and forget about all this. Okay.
Yes. You're not going to get a good meal on a plane, but you can have a fantastic one at home.
That's right. Put the stress of it all behind you and go to HelloFresh.com. See if they deliver in your area. Get a meal that is sent directly to your door in the form of fine, exact farm fresh ingredients. And they're real recipes from real chefs. Morning Stream for 50% off for first-time customers. That's your checkout code, Morning Stream, at checkout for 50% off.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Puke, and it's brought to you by
a waffle bar, because that's how Kim rolls.
Yeah, she made a waffle bar last night for her. So Taylor had a wedding shower, you know, where they do the gifts and everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And this was my side of the family. So it was like, there's been a friend's one and then a family one.
Okay.
The friend's one was held elsewhere. This one was held here, and Kim went crazy with decorating and just the whole basement got turned into whatever. And she had a waffle bar, and it was these, you make these big waffles, and then it just these ton of ingredients to add to it. Everything from just straight up syrup to multiple kinds of syrups to jams and jellies. And then she had like chocolate chip and even gummy bear sprinkles and all this. She went crazy.
I think that's fantastic. So it was like a, but it was an evening thing, right? It
yeah.
was like a,
yeah,
was an evening night. Waffle bar.
Like 6 o'clock last night until about nine. They did this.
I think that's great.
Yeah. I played Diablo the whole time. It was great. I stayed away from that mess.
No waffles for you.
Well, I had a waffle, but then I left. Okay. I was like, I'm good. Gotcha. Thanks, everybody. It was really good. The only problem with this waffle bar is now the whole house smells like syrup, which means it smells like it smells like a kid in his pajamas now.
His footy pajamas.
Yeah, his footy pajamas. Hopefully Bill's okay with that when he comes in later today. Kaylee Cuoco. What'd you say it is?
Cuoco. Kaylee Cuoco, Sweeting, Arquette.
Junior, the third.
Heisendorf.
Right. Heisendorf.
Thermopolis. Yes.
Thermopolis is a great name. I've always loved Thermopolis. Anyway, she is humorously responding to the nude photo leak with mock not safe for work shots. She's seems to be one of the few sort of having, not having fun with it. I mean, obviously right. She didn't want to have her phone hacked, but she's like, what are you going to do? So she did this Instagram.
Okay.
A little lighthearted Instagram, which, and this is how they reported here. This is E! Online. Sorry. E! Online. it says Big Bang Theory Beauty. That's what they're referring to her as. Who is reportedly on the list of victims who whose privacy was breached. And she was, right? Wasn't she one of them?
She was one of the ones, okay. Yeah.
We're not hearing this wrong, that she was one.
No. Boy, it took me all day. I missed so much work yesterday trying to find all those pictures.
And just tracking them all down, I know. I am fully aware. And by the way, there are some people out there who really take issue with the idea that that these, you know, the answer to this, or one of the answers to this, because I don't think it's as simple as just one answer. But one of the answers to this is, hey, beef up your security, meaning, you know, better passwords, two-step authentication, these kinds of things.
Well, sure.
And people take offense at that because why should they? They're the victims here. Let's quit blaming the victims.
Right, exactly.
That's not victim blaming.
We were accused of victim shaming.
Yeah, and, we're not victim shaming or blaming in this case. Let me tell you what we're doing. We are saying, hey, Brian, you're going to be, you're parking your car in that terrible neighborhood tonight that's known for a high crime rate, murders, and theft.
Right.
You should lock your car door.
if your window gets broken, it's not your fault because, you know, you didn't do anything wrong.
No.
You parked it in the street. And it shouldn't be my fault, but there are risks in life. And if you walk those lines, that's the whole point of risk.
Right.
You know?
Right. This is the thing. I think everybody should be able to take all the naked pictures they want. I have no problem with any of that. That is not a problem. And I think that if I am going to be one of those guys that does that and I don't want those out, I have to take steps in a world where people can get to them because that's the world we live in. So I can be unrealistic and say, we should all be able to do whatever we want with our nakedness. Okay, fine. But we don't live in that world.
You took pictures of yourself with a device that is connected to the internet
and
connected to a network. Even if you didn't specifically say, hey, I want these uploaded to a network, it's a device that's connected to the network. And sadly, that is a risk. And you know it's, you know, people need to be aware that there are risks involved with doing that. And just because you should be safe and you should be secure doesn't mean that you can take those risks and not expect that there's the small chance that something's going
to
happen.
Right. You just like the car thing. You should do whatever you can to protect yourself or go ahead and leave it unlocked and let's see what happens. The bottom line is it doesn't mean that you were the one in the wrong. The guy who stole your car or the person who stole your naked photos is still a freaking criminal. There's no question about that.
Right,
those guys are douchebags. I get it.
Exactly. And their privacy was violated. And I absolutely 100% agree that the people who violated their privacy should be caught, should be prosecuted. And they did commit a crime and they should be charged for that crime. Just like the guy who breaks into my car when I leave in a bad neighborhood.
Right.
Still should be charged for committing a crime.
Yeah,
but
you still track that dude down, but you should do all you can to protect your damn car. That's all it is. If I go down, I would love it. Listen, here in a utopian world, wouldn't it be great if I could just send my daughters down to the homeless shelter and they could just kind of hang out by themselves and everything would be great? That'd be great, wouldn't it?
That'd be great. Sure, it would be great.
But it isn't great! That's all we're saying.
Yeah.
So no more. Everyone relax for a minute.
I'm sure I'm glad that I got included in that whole Twitter thing.
Gosh.
I kept thinking, oh, I'm going to jump in here. No, I'm not.
People want us to be wrong. Right. It's weird. The internet.
Well, Scott, when you're right as much as we are.
Well, constantly right.
People look for any chink in the armor. They look for any loose brick in the wall.
I should be able to put my baby in the back seat of the car without any restraint because I should be able to drive on these roads without fear of somebody else doing something dumb or drinking and driving or whatever. I should That's be able amazing. To do that, Brian.
Should be able to.
But
should
you can't! And you shouldn't because it's not safe for you. So that's all I'm saying. Be as naked as you want to be. That's my bottom line. Be as naked as you want to be. We shouldn't be so uptight about each other's nakedness.
And do what you know. Take the due diligence. Figure out the way to make sure that they are protected. They don't get out.
Yeah. Or if you want them to get out, let them out.
Let them out. And just put them on Twitter. Please make it so much easier for the rest of us.
Brian. Help Brian out.
Help. Will people please
help
think
him.
Of the man child?
Help him help you. All right. Game of Thrones shocker. Yeah. You got a shocker from Game of Thrones.
You didn't finish up with the Kaylee Cuoco thing, actually.
Oh, sorry.
She
put up a fake photo of her and her husband, the Sweden guy, on a Mexican vacation, dancing around the beach with giant blurs on her chest and giant blurs on his crotch that were fake. They were totally
They
dressed.
Were fully clothed, but when you pixelate something, somebody immediately assumes nudity. Yeah. So
she said, what a fun day this was. Frolicking with my hubs on the beaches of Mexico. Feels like we forgot something, says the 28-year-old star. Anyway, it's pretty funny. Game of Thrones shockers. Here you go. People who are not returning for season 5.
Oh, okay.
Ooh.
Game of Thrones. Name a couple that I can kind of expect.
Well, Game of Thrones recently, we don't mean like that, like died or whatever. Game of Thrones recently added a few names, so it's already big roster because they've got new people, right? They were rocked yesterday when cast member Christian Nairn, who plays Hodor, friend of the program, by the way, friend of the network, Christian Nairn, good guy, interviewed him on The Instance, very fun dude. Shockingly spilled the beans in an interview with Yahoo that he is along with Isaac Hempstead Wright, who plays paralyzed Stark kid Bran. That's their words, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
Paralyzed Stark kid. Holy crap. Who wrote this? E online again.
Isaac Hempstead Wright. Hello, I'm Isaac Hempstead Wright.
You might know me as paralyzed Stark kid on Game of Thrones. Anyway, they will not be returning next season, according to these guys. The news does not mean that they're being recast. It just means that, or even killed off, by the way. It just means that their characters aren't being featured in the season 5 thing. I'm actually not surprised by this. Having gotten deep into the final book, there's a lot of reason to think that they would not be around for a bit.
Right.
They're already telling that stuff all out of order anyway.
It's a different storyline. Like, it's,
it's almost like a separate book.
Which is interesting because I was really curious about the ending of season 4 and the whole Bran Stark.
They saw a thing, right? That's what you're talking about?
They saw a thing, right?
The funny thing is, so most of that book covers book 3, right? Let me think. That season was mostly book 3, not 4. Yeah, mostly book 3. But huge swaths of it, including the stuff with Greyjoy, that's all book 5. And not even touched for a whole book. Like, you don't even see him for a whole book.
Oh, wow. Really?
So, they're telling this stuff crazy out of order, and including that Stark stuff at the end, the Bran stuff at the end, is totally, like, not happened in that book that they finished with, like, the whole Lannister stuff.
According to Ziggurat and the Tadpool, the part with Bran is caught up to the book. So, basically, we don't... George R. R. Martin has to write some more stuff for us to figure out what happens with Bran.
Exactly. That makes sense. So, because of that, we're not going to see them for a while. Okay. It makes me a little sad just because I like those guys. But
but it gives Christian Nairn some time to work on his WoW characters, get deep into the expansion. And doesn't he play WoW? That's how you met him, right?
Yeah. He's a big huge WoW player. Loves the game and just a really super nice, humble dude.
What's his WoW character name? I'm just going to guess.
probably Hodor. No, actually, I think it's not. I think he told us once and it's totally different. Yeah. He started he's been playing since vanilla. He's really into it.
Right.
He's also a rave dude, like a DJ dude at clubs. And so he says this, quote, "We have the season off and we have a year's hiatus solely because I imagine our storyline is up to the end of the books right now." This is according to Nairn. Quote, so I get my year off now to do Rave of Thrones and gallivant all over the world. When his Rave of Thrones thing is where he goes and does DJing around the world.
Rave of Thrones.
Yeah. Yeah. See what he did.
I'm the mother of glow sticks.
That's awesome. Tweaked Audio sponsoring the show today. Go get yourself a pair of brand new earbuds at tweakedaudio.com and tell them we sent you by using the code STREAM for 33% off at tweakedaudio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Wendy will be here for Therapy Thursday. I got a good question for her this week about relationships. Before that, though, Brian has a musical treat for us. Now we'll hear from him.
Sure. Well, Kelly Farrow wrote in and said, hi, Brian. Thanks for your hard work and the heart you put into all you do. So what about the heart that Scott puts
in?
Yeah. Come on now. Oh, September 4th is my 36th birthday, and I would love to hear They Might Be Giants' outstanding cover of New York City. For a long time, I didn't realize this was a cover, but found out the story behind it when I watched the fascinating documentary about They Might Be Giants called Gigantic. Have you ever seen it? I recommend it to both you and Scott. Thanks, and keep on keeping on. Eolv Het How's Guitar?
Wow.
Which is an anagram for Love the Show, though. Kelly Farrell. Yeah, so this is a cover of Cub, a band called Cub. I think I saw Gigantic, and I don't remember the story behind New York City, so I'm going to have to look that one up. But
I'm only finding two entries on IMDb, and one is for a drama, and one is for a comedy, and neither are a documentary, so I don't know where this is.
I want to say this was independently released, and if I remember correctly, it is a lot of interviews with, like, hipster actors and folks like I want to say Aubrey Plaza and people kind of on that vibe.
Oh, here it is. It has a subtitle. I found it. Gigantic, A Tale of Two Johns, released in 2002, looks like.
I think I actually even own a copy of it.
I want to see it. I've never heard of it.
As a matter of fact, what happened? Yeah, I rented it from Netflix.
Yeah.
And I lost the disc.
Dope.
And then I went and bought another copy, put the disc in for Netflix, sent it back, and then found the original Netflix disc. So
look what honesty did for you.
That's right.
You won in the end. Good vibes, man.
I could have easily said, hey, Netflix, no, I sent that back.
Yeah, right?
I don't know what happened to it. Anyway, New York City by They Might Be Giants. This comes from their album entitled Factory Showroom that came out in 1996. And here you go. It is New York City by They Might Be Giants.
Oh, you say that as if I remembered to be ready to put this in here. And
I even did all that extra talking, and that didn't seem to help.
I'm the worst. Okay, here you go. I'm going to play it now. New York City, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with Wendy. Stay tuned.
You called me last night on the telephone, and I was glad from you, cause I was all alone. You said, it's snowing, God, I hate this weather. Now I walk through blizzards just to get us back together. We met in the springtime at a rock and roll show. It was on the Bowery when it was time to go. We kissed on the subway in the middle of the night. I held your hand, you held my. Just so much to see, but the best thing about New York City is you and me. Statue of Liberty, Staten Island Ferry, Co-op City, Katz's and Tiffany, Central Park, Brooklyn Bridge, the Empire State where Dylan lived, Coney Island and Times Square, Rockefeller Center, wish I was there. You wrote me a letter just the other day. Said springtime is coming soon, so why don't you come to stay? Pack my stuff, it's on the bus, I can't believe it's true. I'm 3 days from New York City and I'm 3 days from you. Cause everyone's my friend in New York City, and everything looks beautiful when you're young and free. The streets are paved with diamonds, and there's just so much to see. But the best thing about New York City is
You and me.
Let it rain, you say to her. We'll have a wonderful day. And you pour the Almaden. Almaden Chenin Blanc. Fragrant, fresh, delicate. It's one of your favorites. We know the wine you like because we've been making wine longer than any other California winery. We know you. We make your wine.
No sloppy hoes.
This is the Morning Stream, where Scott and Brian never invite me to do anything.
Oh, I don't know if that's true.
Aww.
I don't know if that's true. I love Scott Fletcher.
I do, too. We need to have him on a PM at some point,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I agree. We've talked about it forever, and why not? That's the time he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Fletcher, put it in your ear. I know he still listens to the show, so put it in your earbud there. We want to, what's an earbud? Did I just make a thing up?
Put it in your earbud. Put a bug in your ear.
Bug in your ear is what I meant. Is that a thing too?
No. Well, yes, put a bug in your ear is a thing, but it's not that thing.
No. All right. Got it.
Like, put a bug in your ear is like,
bug in your ear. I swear it's a thing, but it doesn't, something's
like
wrong.
It's, like a little reminder that we'll talk about later. Like we'll stick a pin in it.
Oh, put a pin in it kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
You're right. I think you're right. All right. Doesn't matter. Right or wrong.
Put a bug in your ear and we'll get some synergy on that when we have a webinar a little bit later.
Yeah, we'll discuss it. We'll talk about it. All right. We're going to call Wendy Dunford. My sister, Wendy. Used to be Johnson. Hi.
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Can you hear me all right?
I can totally hear you.
I can hear you just fine.
You're more, are you in a new place now? A different place?
Yeah.
Are you in a better place?
I'm in a much, much better place. I don't have Wi-Fi here, and so it's just my cell, and it actually might be better.
It does. It already sounds cleaner.
Yeah. We don't have, so far, no.
So I can talk normal speed.
Yeah. You don't sound anything like, hold on, where is it? You don't sound like this. You sound really good so far.
Good. Okay.
All right. Well, I'm glad. So this is like people love following the story of you and your travels. So this is like interim space between the old place and the final resting place, right?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
The final resting place.
Well, you know what I mean.
God.
So what's the, so tell us about the middle place. What is it and what's it like?
So these are some super nice people we've met have kind of a big house, and they have like a sort of like a mother-in-law apartment that was being rented out by the woman's two younger sisters. And they just said, you're welcome to it. We'll just move in with the family. So they have kids and these two sisters living with. They're so, so nice, honestly. Anyway, so we're crammed into another two-bedroom little place, and my kids are getting really good at all sleeping in one room, and
it's like camping but like for more civilized tastes.
Well, that's great.
That's fantastic.
As
people may be aware and or maybe not aware, maybe it's your first time listening to the show, Wendy is a therapist. She comes on the show and hangs out with these two dummies and talks about real issues with real people. She's also my sister, for whatever that disclaimer is worth. Here we go. Let's just do this thing. Let's launch right into it.
Yes.
Before we spend your data plan.
Every month, every week.
Every week, every Thursday. Doing it since 2014. All right. Here's the question this week. This comes from somebody who is referring to themselves as MD. I don't believe that means they're a medical doctor.
But maybe.
Could be. Who knows?
He gives some hints in there that he's not.
Oh, okay, good. Well, then, you're good at finding.
He's neither a doctor nor does he play one on TV.
No, none of that. So he says, hi, Wendy, Brian, and Scott. A few segments in Therapy Thursday shows, or therapy shows, inspired this email. I'm 43 years old and living a mostly unsatisfied bachelor life. Other parts of my life are satisfying, but I'm tired of not being able to share my life with a woman. I'm divorced. I was married only briefly 15 years ago. Here's the problem. I'm usually attracted to unavailable women. Either they are attracted, either they are attached or seem to be too young for me, mid-20s or mid-30s. I am good when in a relationship, but I'm not good at the beginning stages of those relationships. Some background, I went back to school at 35 and graduated a couple of years later in 2008. I have a job in a field I enjoy, but I have suffered under a bad manager for the last few years. This is generally accepted about him, not just my own observation. Financially, I am in a similar state as people in their late 20s, early 30s. It seems that women my age are looking for someone more on par with their own financial status. Many of the women in the younger age group are looking for men closer to their own age. That seems obvious. It seems the pool of available women is thin. I'm hoping you can shed some light on a situation for me for any other men in similar circumstances. Thank you, says MD. So it is a weird – that's a weird in-between space for him. And I assume people who would be available to him in his age range are – they exist, but are the ones that exist this – I don't want the word isn't petty, but are they this hardcore about, ooh, you're not established and financially stable enough for me? Is that, that must be a problem for people.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I think he sort of nailed all the problems, actually. Mm. As much as we like to think people are more, we're attracted to the person who is kind and is funny. There is also just oodles and noodles of research backing up, we're attracted to stability. Women are, in particular.
Yeah.
Attracted to stability. And so in his 40s, if he's financially more like a 20-year-old or, late 20s, that's just not going to be appealing to someone who's either not, or there's, the women are hoping a man comes along and fixes their financial problems. He's not that group either.
Mm.
So he said, I think there's the, I listened to the whole thing and I think, okay. Yeah, you've kind of nailed it. You need to save a bunch of money and you need to, maybe date women who are 37. I don't know. some of the answers seem kind of
unmarried,
obvious. But
unmarried women who are 37.
Unmarried women, yeah, because he likes this unavailable business. And that is actually the thing that's most interesting about the email.
Mm.
So what is the unavailability of a partner? Why is that so appealing? And people have many reasons for this.
Yeah.
But this is, pretty common thing. So of course I have more questions for him. I love that he answered that his boss is a jerk and everyone concurs.
Yeah.
Because I would have asked really is everyone think he's a jerk? So thanks for reading my mind, MD. But
yeah.
The question you didn't ask, which is what is this availability thing? So we're just going to speculate a little bit. So have either of you had this interest in unavailable women before?
There's always like a, you always want something you can't have kind of thing.
Sure. Okay.
I think that's why there's, celebrity crushes. It's because, all right, well, there's no chance of it ever happening, but you kind of have a crush on a celebrity or whatever.
That doesn't stop Brian from sitting around pining about Julia Roberts all
Allison
day.
Allison Brie.
Yeah. Oh, Allison Brie. Sorry.
Allison Brie.
Julia Roberts is annoying. For me, it's kind of that, we've talked about, I think on the therapy show about my childhood crush on Jessica Moore, that neighbor we used to have, and how that became this ultimately unrequited, unreturned, affection. She just never gave me the time of day. She occasionally was nice and sort of friendly to me, but, she would always, when I thought, oh, I might be able to hold her hand or something, she would fall for a new jock or something. And it would just, my fears would be shattered on the rocks once again. And, that feeling is kind of sucks. That's a sucky feeling because what that means is she's not attracted to you. Why? Well, is it because you're ugly? No, it's because you're not on the football team, or later in life, you're not a CEO of a successful company or whatever. And it's for people who have idealized ideas of what love is and all that. This is not fun to have to deal with.
No, but you're pointing out something that, I mean, I know your history well enough to know that you don't have a problem with unavailable women.
No, I really not now. I don't.
Yeah. No,
I
no.
Care less
that's,
now. Yeah.
That's pretty normal with crushes. Like you're sort of describing the crush. That is by definition what a crush is, isn't it? you are liking someone you can't have. There's a difference when you have women who want to date you, or you're able to initiate, you know, connection with someone, but then when they're emotionally ready to be in a relationship and you're not, then they're not attractive to you anymore if they are available. So this is where it's pathological versus, like, you know, everyone has a Jessica Moore. In fact, remember, I changed my name to Jessica. That's how lovely this girl was.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. Wendy actually changed her name for a while to Jessica because of this neighbor chick.
First grade. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's so weird. I forgot all about that.
She was just, and just a lovely person. She babysat me a couple times. And so I had a crush on Jessica too.
Yep. Did you like get the same haircut that she had? And
yeah, lots of feathering. Lots of feathering.
Wow.
Anyway, but so here is this, you know, 43 at this point, he's pretty aware of his types, you know, and he's recognizing the women he's interested in are too young for him, which make them apparently unavailable for him, whether that's really true or not. So there's this idea of emotionally unavailable and then unavailable because they're married. So are you attracted to what you can't have, or are you attracted to, the person who's mean, or the person who rejects you repeatedly, or the person who, you know, is playing games and is literally emotionally not mature enough or ready to have a relationship. So he needs to explore that. Go ahead.
Could there be some correlation between that and his marriage? Like, you know, was there something maybe that she did that caused the marriage to fall apart, that now he wants to see in other women, or he finds attractive, or wants some sort of subconscious revenge, or want to destroy another marriage. You know,
that is a great point. And I love too how no one ever elaborates on the questions I would ask. And Brian, you hit it. That is one, which is, what was this brief marriage? You know, they always throw in a gem that they never tell you more about, which is, I was married briefly, right? And the married briefly. Why were you married briefly?
Right, yeah. And why was it brief? Yeah, exactly.
And why was it brief? And that description makes it sound like, well, there was a thing at one point in my life, but that's not the point. The point is, well, what happened then? Is it her behavior, something that happened at the end of the marriage? Is it you got married because you thought you were supposed to, even though you really weren't all that into the relationship because she was emotionally available? So it, for me, it pulls back to that question of, what is your emotional availability issue really about? If it's about, you know, as of course I think there's a mommy issue there.
Right.
There's some other issue that comes from someplace that, you know, taught you a thing or two about relationships that, you know, sort of backfiring in your adult life potentially that would be worthy to note. Maybe, you know, maybe there was a parent that was unfaithful. Maybe there was, you know, there could be there's the list is endless, so you can't really guess, but clearly that first marriage might have some clues to it. But I think maybe there's,
he did
also
skip over it so quickly to me.
Yeah.
And it's just an email, and I realized, you know, people are trying to be brief and everything, but, I don't want to read too much into it, but it does, I do feel like that I had a marriage 15 years ago. It was such a small mention, but that's a giant part of anyone's life. Like, it can't just be, it's not like, I caught the end of Kojak, that one episode. It's not the same as something small like that. That's a big deal. So I feel like there's more there that we're not.
Ever listened to the podcast Death, Sex, and Money?
No. Sounds interesting, though. Where have I heard this? I've heard this.
I think she worked for This American Life or something. Anyway, she talks about those three topics. And some of it's like, I don't have time for this. But I just listened to one today about a guy who is like the dating columnist for the New York Post or something, and his sort of womanizing, and now he's in a real relationship and he's had to go to therapy to stop womanizing because he had a girlfriend he loved and they lived together, but he cheated on her and he couldn't stop himself. Really? And
I now know who this is. Sorry, it's Anna Sale. I remember this now because they brought it up on This American Life as a thing people should be checking out.
Yeah.
That's why I remember. I'm glad for the reminder. I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's good. Some of them you're like, but some are really good. anyway, he talked about how he hurt this woman so badly and he realized, I got to go to therapy. So he went to therapy. He said it was the fourth session when he brought up his father for the first time. And I love this because I can just sit in the shoes of that therapist. Yeah. And it's sort of like, okay, now let us really begin, you know, like the real stuff. And his dad was a womanizer. He had brothers from, all had different mothers, and you know, the guy died alone. No one went to his funeral. Like, he had a really sad, because he was a chronic cheater. And so here's this kid vowing, I'll never be like that. And you know what we become? We become the things we vow we will never be if we don't really do what it takes to change. And so it was interesting because he talked about the hard work it really is on himself. And she asked great questions. And she's like, so what are you working on right now? And he said, I am working on, I know I'm in the honeymoon phase. He's madly in love with this girl. It's going to be great. He's like, I'm working on that. If I don't feel like this all the time, I don't have to find someone else to change how I feel, but that I can grow with, you know, a maturing relationship like a mature individual would. But all of it stems back to sort of this father complex problem that needed work, right? So this emailer, I mean, all of that to say, there is probably a reason. If you can get girls to date you, women to date you from young, you know, from 20s up to 40s, then you don't have the you're really gross problem and no one wants to date you problem. You have something else going on that's preventing you from getting into a committable relationship. So he says, I'm good once I'm in. Well, that probably means that she has to drive it for him to then be in a relationship. And that's weird too. And then he has this availability thing. So there's lots of unanswered questions and a lot that he can do that would actually make a huge difference in his life, but he has to do the work to do it because it's not as simple. And I know, like, I don't ever listen to any other therapy things because they irritate me, but
right. You're like a doctor who can't watch ER or forensic scientist who can't watch Bones or something.
Kind of kills me, right? Sure. But partly because the answers are like, do 1, 2, and 3 and you'll be cured. And the reality is, you know, it's sort of needs to be some of his life work. It's his imprint from very early, whatever it might be. And this guy, you know, on the show's case, it just seems so clear. And, you know, where this all stemmed from, he saw his mother being hurt and here he is hurting someone else. And, you know, all of this. And how do you fix that yourself? You typically don't.
Yeah.
And most people, it takes a lot of soul searching and digging and pain and crying and therapy. And, you know, so whatever this guy, I mean, how motivated are you, I guess, is a question too. Are you really motivated to spend your life with somebody? Well, then you darn well better be attracted to someone emotionally available or you're not going to get that, right?
Yeah.
But if you can't force yourself to be attracted to someone emotionally available, then you have a real problem. And that problem, there are solutions and there's ways to make it better. You just have to be proactive about it. It is not something that step 1, 2, and 3 are going to fix.
It's going to be harder for him because he's alone, right? Like, doesn't that make things more difficult? Because there's nobody there prodding him or encouraging him. He doesn't have a roommate that's like, dude, you got this. It's just him.
Right, right. And he's got this sort of storyline, which is, I don't have a lot of money, so women aren't after me and blah, 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 which might be true. But it's also, you're going to present yourself that way as well. You're going to create sort of self-fulfilling prophecies about that story. So I think his best bet is, it's sort of the circuitous route to a solution, and that is, You don't go into dating sites to fix your dating problem. You dig into yourself. Mm-hmm. And as you are sort of healing and becoming more whole, your attraction starts to shift a little bit. So emotionally unavailable women are less attractive. Emotionally available women are less scary and more attractive. Mm. So it isn't that there are no women out there. So his email sort of alludes to this idea. Are there any women out there who want a poor 43-year-old, you know? And the answer is, there are plenty of women who want an honest, kind, emotionally available 43-year-old, money notwithstanding.
Sure.
That is true.
Sure.
But if you are not your best self, then no, they don't want a 43-year-old emotionally unavailable dude with no money.
Well, it's funny he sees this whole thing in such a pejorative perspective because he's actually in some ways kind of impressing me. He decided to go back to school at a later age.
Right.
Bang out a degree, did that, is now doing what he wants to do. Like, there's a lot of upward mobility about that. There's a lot of sort of forward thinking and, you know, not succumbing to societal norms and kind of kicking the trend. And I don't know, to me, those seem like positive
Absolutely.
Things, but he's now at a place where he's not even seeing that as a positive thing, and that's holding him back somehow.
Or maybe he's thinking it's, you know, he's seeing it as the women are a problem. Like, is there anyone that would fit with me? And then also, to be honest, my problem is I'm not attracted to women who are available.
Yeah.
But maybe the ones who are 43 and looking to settle down and, you know, are really turned off by someone who's doing this later in life. But I will tell you, I have seen couples again and again that their financial situations are not the reason. Mm. I mean, it's not hindering them. It's something else maybe, but you know, and they take that risk. I mean, they fall in love. It really has more to do with your emotional intelligence and availability and risk-taking in an emotional connection kind of relationship. It's really not about the money. The money is the initial thing, maybe. But there are plenty of people in the world who are not attracted to someone who's wealthy either, you know? So I think it really goes back to this sort of his own work and his own place. And this happens, I don't want to say 100% of the time, but 98% of the time when I work with a client who is single and wants to be married and they haven't been dating for 3 years and, you know, they go on Tinder and maybe go on a date or two, but like really nothing's happening. I always warn them. I say, okay, now I don't know how this works. It's not like I have some connection with the man upstairs, but you are going to start dating someone while we're working together.
Yeah.
Because I need you to figure this out, and I can't do it by dating you or just meeting with you without you dating. So just be patient and work on yourself. And I promise you 98% of the time they start dating someone.
Mm.
And I always say, okay, now you don't look this gift horse in the mouth, whatever that
is. That's the phrase.
Yeah. I said it right. Yeah. I'll tell you, I'm going to learn some really stupid Swedish ones because they have some weird old things.
Funny that you and your brother both do that. Like, you know, you'll say a phrase and then sometimes you'll question it. Your brother often gets it wrong, but
No. I know where we get this. It's from Dad. Yeah. Dad was the worst.
Our brains don't work like this.
Yeah. Plus, my dad would say things like, "Remember, you always put the horse before the cart." And I'd say, "Well, Dad, I think that's how it's supposed to go." And then he'd just get frustrated because he got it backwards. Or he'd say, "Early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, sweaty, and
the last straw on the camel."
Yeah, he can't do it. It was always bad for him. So I think we picked some of that up. But anyway.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Yeah. Anyway, now I don't remember what we're saying. See, I got that from Mom.
Oh, sorry. I derailed.
That's all right. Two Johnson derailed traits on display at once. Fantastic.
Here it is, people.
Yeah. Take it for what it's
worth. Oh, yeah. People, they start dating. And I always tell them, you are not allowed to see this person as your soulmate. And I'm going to marry them tomorrow. This person is practice and is an experiment. And what's so interesting about when I do this is that they take risks in that relationship. They are more honest. They communicate better because they're like, I don't want to screw this up anymore. I'm going to do what she tells me to do. And so they end up really treating the relationship like an experiment, doing the right things, saying things, you know, they wouldn't normally say or do, or being honest, you know, all that good stuff. They become emotionally available, even though it's by assignment. I know this sounds weird. And then eventually what happens with some of them, either they break up and then move on and date other people, but it kind of breaks the dry spell. Or a couple of the people I've worked with have actually married the person that, you know, they started dating as we were working together. And I think it's because left to their own devices, they do their own cycle, right? They just get right back into it. Do the same stuff. Withhold the same information, have the same fears, make up the same stories, and sabotage
the same results.
Yeah, end up with the same results, sabotage the relationship. But when you're in it, it's so instinctual. You just do the same dumb stuff. And so it really can be helpful to have that person saying, "Hey, why don't you say this? What if you tried that? Tell me what you did there." You know, you're sort of microanalyzing it as you go. The challenge is, I mean, the therapist, they're neutral and they don't really care. You know, they don't have to live with your spouse, you know, that you choose, but your mother or your sister or your cousin, they may have awesome advice, but they're biased and we tend not to listen to them.
They're too close right? to the, yeah.
Yeah.
Close
they may say, "Wow, you really need to get like last week's, you know, you need some more space, so you can move on with your life or whatever." Oh, we have a bunch of kids. Hi. Hi. Okay. I'm on the phone. I'm going to go in the bathroom now.
It's the only other.
That was Abe. He just started speaking Swedish to me.
Oh, we did? Wow.
Yeah, I don't really know what he said. But let me tell you this. The other day, Pete walked up to the neighbor and in perfect Swedish asked her to pick him up.
Oh, you're kidding.
And put his arms up.
Yeah, see, he's at that age where this stuff's just going to soak in. Yeah. He'll be bilingual his whole life.
And I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get the. No. I have an old brain. This is going to be bad.
Yeah, it's going to be harder for you, but your kids are going to pick it right up.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were saying, I forgot what you were saying. Something.
Yeah, just basically, advice from other people.
Oh, right. And maybe this reminds me of like with my kids, you know, I'll give Taylor a million pieces of advice during high school or whatever that she'll just never take. It's like, oh, whatever, Dad, you know, blows it off. The minute a total stranger, somebody in her peer group, a boy she's dating, her fiance now, whoever, says the exact same thing, suddenly she's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's that same thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You need somebody.
It really is. That's why. Yeah. Yeah. Just pay for 4 sessions, people. Just get it.
No. You'd be amazed. So you've said this to me before. Sometimes it's all you need is that like 4 sessions and you're good. Like a lot of people don't need 20 years of therapy to solve a lot of their issues. Some people need 1, 2, 3, 4 moments of, you know, time with a professional to just kickstart what needed, you know, what's just bubbling underneath anyway.
Right. Especially for those who feel the stigma pretty strongly, like, oh, I don't need help. People in my family don't get help, you know?
Yeah.
But for those who have grown up with a gardener and a maid or whatever, they're just kind of used to it. So I have a therapist, right? Mm. But then there's another subset that maybe you've been through some serious trauma or you have a narcissistic parent or something really intense and you need therapy on a regular basis, like all of us really could use a massage on a regular basis, right? Like it's just a maintenance.
Agreed.
A mental health maintenance. And there is nothing wrong with that either. But, you know, there's different therapists for different things. And there's a lot of short-term, or we call it brief therapy, that is available and is really effective. In this guy's case, he needs some homework. He's got to dig into, like, what this is about, where it started, and how to change and heal. And the woman will come. That's the problem. It's you go looking for some person that somehow is supposed to fit when really it's you that needs to change. And then she'll show up. I promise. That's how it just happens every time.
Yeah. And the minute you forget about you and your issues, it seems like the quicker somebody else
stop looking.
Yeah. Right. Then somebody will suddenly go, oh, that guy's great. Why? Because he seems confident, not worried all about those things that. Yeah. Normally turn me off or whatever.
Because really the money thing, I mean, this is just my theory according to making it up right now, which is I think the money thing is more about confidence. They seem like they could protect me. I mean, this is very basic, instinctual, ancient, like provide and protect is sort of also what you're seeking. So money represents that, but there's plenty of people who probably have a ton of money, but you don't get the sense that they are safe, right?
Right.
So he really doesn't matter how much money he has. It matters that he feels confident that that's legitimate and that he works towards that because he likes himself or he, you know, whatever his stuff he has to work on. That is the key is you can't work on anyone else. He's got to work on himself.
Yeah. I think the reason, you know, Kim may have been cool with me when she met me is I was at a place of high confidence and great self-esteem and, you know, things are great. My early 20s.
Right.
I think if she would have met me at 36 when I'm trying to decide what I'm doing with my career, thinking about all these issues, being Mr. Nervous Nelly, she'd have been like, oh, this guy's a spaz. I don't want to be with him. So it's, I think he's just, he just has been in that place for a little bit. Now it's time to move back into a, that other thing. And then people automatically go, ooh, who's this guy? I want to know him more.
And MD, you got to let go of the story about going back to school later and you're just starting your career. You got to figure out how to keep that negative story at bay. Because
yeah, just don't lead with that. Yeah, don't make that your opener.
Totally. And when I went back to school, at 32, I mean, that's part of your life and your story. It's nothing to be ashamed about, but you can't see yourself as that person, the critical version of it. See yourself as the version Scott just described.
Yeah.
It says a lot about somebody that can do that.
Yeah. It's hard. It's hard.
It is. I mean, Adam's in, so he's in graduate school, right? Yeah. He's 39 now.
Yeah.
And he's really old. He's Uncle Grandpa. He's going to tell his class to call him Uncle Grandpa. Yeah. And he gets to class the first day, and he is the only American.
Yeah.
And he is the only old guy. He could probably teach half these classes, but he's sort of like, you know, he's going with the flow and he's whatever. But I think, you know, we haven't really talked about it yet. So I'll psychoanalyze him and give you a report.
Yeah, I want to hear all about that.
I think it's hard to, you know, be the old guy.
And I think it's really hard. Listen, I've been in a couple of situations recently where I had to interview some people who are all kind of into some of the stuff I do and cover and everything. But it did not occur to me before this interview just how
they're 20.
That they're 23. Because on the internet kind of creates an age thing where the age matters less. And that's kind of part of the problem, too, because like a 12-year-old idiot can say terrible things and you're trying to wrap your head around why someone would say terrible things. And you can never quite get back to the point that, hey, they're 12. They're not mature at all. They don't know what they're saying. So it's the internet as a way of doing that. But it also has this opposite effect where it can take young, intelligent people and kind of put them up higher on an age level that you think you can relate to more. But then you go talk to them and you realize, I am old enough to be just about old enough to be your dad.
Yeah.
And then you're like, holy. Ugh. So it must be weird to be that over there.
Like I met a kid the other day, he's like 21 and he said, and he's American. And he said, we were talking about where we'd lived. And I said, I lived in England for a while. And he goes, oh, do you know? And he says a name.
Yeah.
I'm like, no. And he goes, oh, she's my mom's friend. And I'm like, how old is your mom? And he's like, 50. I'm all, oh, hell, dude. You think I'm 50? But when you're 21, everyone's 50.
No, you know? I know. I asked a 7-year-old. I asked a 7-year-old. This little 7-year-old kid in our neighborhood goes, I can't remember the exact line, but said, he goes, what if we found an ancient treasure map? And it was... it was really old and it showed where a treasure was. And I said, how old is this map? And he goes, oh, it's so old. It would be like from like the 1980s. And to him, that is ancient freaking history. Yeah. But to me, for Brian and I, that's the 50s. To my parents, that's the
20s. The 10s.
The 10s. Yeah, I guess the 10s.
Yeah.
So, I, you know, it is what it is, but I'm sure Adam's having quite the adventure. You'll have to.
It is. He's Uncle Grandpa. Uncle Grandpa. Okay, so here's my sweet. Sorry, MD, go get a therapist.
Yeah, get a therapist. 4 sessions, you're good.
Yeah, work on it. Right. Okay, so here's my sweet. I'm not going to give you a word lesson.
Okay, I'm ready.
I have some good ones still, but I'm going to give you.
We don't have a theme for this yet, but here we'll do this temporarily. There you go. There's our theme. Go.
Okay, but it's just Swedish. This is just Swedish trivia. Okay, so the first phone call in Europe was like 1893 between the city I live in and the city 45 minutes south of here where Adam goes to school. Okay. Isn't that cool?
That is pretty cool.
The first phone call in all of Europe was in Sweden.
That's a great little fact. You should bring these up every week. Can you do these each week?
Oh, every week. I will.
It can be dirty words. It can be that. It can be whatever.
And you realize soon I'm starting Swedish for Immigrants, which is like, trust me, there's not a single American in this entire town.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be me and refugees from somewhere, and it's going to be epic.
Well, and you're only there. Are you in the same town you're going to ultimately be in when the other move takes place, or are you moving?
Okay. We move outside of town where it's isolated on a farm and we could kill people if we wanted. Currently we're in town and we're behaving ourselves.
So. All right, great. That's all sounds very nice.
Google it. It's called Alingsås.
Alingsås.
S with the A and the umlaut S, and it is one of the most beautiful places you've ever seen.
Alingsås.
Alingsås.
Google says, did you mean luing sauce, Alingsås, selling sauce, or cooling sauce? No. I didn't mean any sauces. We'll have to check it out. Follow Wendy on Instagram. She's at Wendy Dunford, and she's posting nice pictures all the time. So follow her there. Wendy, always a pleasure. Let's do it again next week.
Yep.
May all your Stuttgarts be full of meatballs. I don't know what that means.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Bye now. Bye. Peace out, she says, like a true therapist. All right. Ryan?
Yes.
Good times.
Yes.
Good times.
That was good times.
Yeah.
That was a fun one.
I like Wendy in Sweden. She's living in squalor. She won't say so, but that place she's in temporarily is tiny.
Really?
That's like a freaking cell block room.
God, and all of them jammed into one little space.
Yeah.
Four kids.
Those two. He has to commute every day 45 minutes for school. She's hanging clothes on everything because there's no like conveniences yet.
Aw.
Yeah. I mean, it'll all be better.
Not a single luxury?
Not really. She gets to that farmhouse and all will be well, but she's an adventurer, man.
Wow.
Got to give her that.
Good for her. Good for her.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting here.
In the Utah.
And doing what I do. Brian, let's do an email.
In the clip clop. Yeah.
It is brought to you by.
We teased about this one earlier.
Yeah.
The house smelling like syrup all week.
I have a feeling that we're just getting started with the syrup smell. All right. Ken wrote in. The pyramid helmet is his nickname.
Oh, yeah. I love. Yeah.
He says, hey, Scott, how it's made is a Canadian show. So it's that one we were, you know, with the crackers. Right. We don't usually share our secrets to outsiders, but we Canadians trust you and Brian like we trust our holy money and our benevolent moose god. You see, it all starts when a young Canadian is forced out of his or her igloo at the age of 13. There's not a lot of sustenance out in the Great White North apart from the majestic maple trees that we suckle for its life-giving syrup. Suckling a frigging melt style? What does that mean?
Suckling a frigid metal style.
The tappy little thing we jam to in the tree. Oh, that must be metal style. Huh. Apparently permanently alters our palate so that we can't see our ooze properly. Love the shoe. Love Louvre Lushuthu. Ken. That's maybe the best email we've ever gotten.
That's awesome.
Just embrace the stereotypes. I love it. We haven't gotten an email that actually says why they say that stuff wrong, unless we've gotten any between last night and this morning. So let's check.
And who says they say it wrong and we say it right?
Well, right. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is a... Okay, here we go. Love the show. Licorice pipes. Hold on.
You already get comments on licorice pipes?
I got... Yeah, it says right here. Yeah, this just came in an hour ago.
Wow.
Says, hey, little fact about the pipes you're eating. A couple of months ago, some rumors were started that they could be outlawed in Denmark due to the shape. People were outraged. Pipes were sold out in no time. This is from the smart retard is his name.
Oh, jeez.
That's not a very nice name.
It's not very PC. No.
No. I mean, you know, whatever. It is what it is. No other Canadians explain themselves. So this is the best we got right now. More of you want to write in, please do. Our email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. That's themorningstream@gmail.com. That's going to do it for us. No points from Cleo this week. She's still in the hospital with Eden, is my understanding.
Yeah.
But if you want to submit...
And our best wishes go out to her.
Abso-freaking-lutely. That little girl's been through some stuff, and their family even more. So I hope they hope something gets better. Don't forget tonight, 5:30 p.m., watch Daryl Eat Six Crackers Real Fast.
Yay.
And hang out with us for TMSPM. Should be a good time. That is all due to patreon.com/TMS, where you can contribute a very little amount of money and help us stay on the air. And not only stay on the air, but produce cool new things. We have something rad coming up in October. So watch for that. A little teaser, a little pilot program that you'll all be very interested in. Very.
Yes.
It won't be distressing at all. It'll be very interesting.
No, not distressing.
No, not distressing. Oh. What?
Something just came up on Skype.
Oh, beep, 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 beep.
Cleo, I think, might have just tried calling us.
Oh, did she? Is she
around?
Did
you try? That's weird. No, it's the same. Did you try calling Cleo?
No. I can add her to the
She's
thing.
Added to our list.
Different group, I think.
Oh, it is a different group.
That's from last week.
Okay.
That's last week.
Weird, though, because I just got a call from that cluster.
Did that just happen?
It just happened, 9:46.
Oh, she is calling. Hold on. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Hey. I thought you weren't on this week.
I wasn't planning to, but some things just happened, and I had to be involved.
Oh.
You thought wrong, Johnson.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah, so first, I'm a little medicated, so we're going to go with that. That's my opener.
All right.
Points for Cleo already.
Yeah. Points for Cleo already, because she's super medicated. Yeah. I have, like, 3 points, so I'll throw them out there.
All right.
I have been given medication to sleep, and wow. Okay. So, first, why do I got to follow the guy with the email that says retard?
I don't know. But points
can we do something
for that.
About that?
I know.
Well, we didn't think you were coming on, so we wouldn't have done that.
I know.
Yeah.
See, I get it. But I saw the look on Brian's face like, oh, God, don't call Cleo.
immediate look over to the tadpole to make sure you're not in the room.
Yeah, everyone was like, oh, angry Kansas City lady. Oh, yeah, God. Canadians are sucking on trees and Wendy's moving to a death farm. That's what I got in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's
accurate
about right.
Or not accurate?
That's about accurate. I think the medication you're taking may have enhanced all of that, but yes. Yeah, as far as basic information goes, that is what was said, for sure.
Okay, cool. No, I woke up about 20 minutes ago because I haven't been sleeping, and they gave me something to help me sleep, and while it worked, it has kind of fallout, and fallout's going to be hilarious, but not very good in terms of parenting.
No, okay. I agree. You got other kids to watch. I don't know how this is going to go for you today. Woo.
Ooh, no, yeah. I'm doing okay, actually. All so right. far, everyone's on the right side of the dirt, so that's a good thing.
Okay, good.
So let me tell you, Covergirl got some points for milk that organ.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Jeannie was going to fall out of her chair if I didn't do it.
That was pretty freaking funny.
For milk that organ.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be able to tell that there was only really one show I could pay attention to because I was half asleep all week. But the same show, when you were talking about the Backstreet Manifesto, Alucard, an ironic name, listed some of the line item demands.
All right.
There were only two, so it's not a long list. One was understand Backstreet's back, all right? That was the first one. And the second one says, no matter what anyone else wants, we want it that way.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Fantastic.
This probably would have been better if I don't think this would have been better if I wasn't medicated.
No. I think this is we might put up another Patreon to keep you
keep you medicated
like every Thursday.
Have us keep sending pills.
Klonopin's for Cleo. Yeah. Everyone.
Yay. Klonopin will put you out, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That'll knock you straight out.
And I take medication often, so this was not fun.
Yeah, but. No, I understand. I'm the same way, and when I do, I feel like a crazy person when I take it. So you are much happier drunk than me, apparently.
I'm a really fun person to be around with.
I can tell. Well, Carrie, stay out of the medicine cabinet.
Stay out of the Klonopin, probably.
Yeah. And let's try to do it again next week. I hope things are going all right.
She's doing fine. She's home. She's on a lot of medication, so she's sleeping like all the time, but not in the ICU, so that's what matters.
That is what matters. Home with mom. Two mom and daughter drunk off their butts. Sounds good to me.
Good time.
Stay out of trouble. Yay. Bye. All right. Brian, I got two things to share with you. One.
All right.
Shatner getting the ice bucket challenge. Ready?
Yeah.
Here goes. Oh! Oh! Good Lord. It's the most acting he's ever done.
That's I make love to the bucket.
And then Daryl doing this last week. Oh, good Lord. All right. That means tonight there won't be any burping, but there will be dry crackers in his face.
Dry crackers.
That's it for the show. We are here live tonight at 5:30 p.m. at frogpants.com/live. You can check that out. And don't forget to email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. On Twitter, follow Brian at Coverville. Follow me at Scott Johnson. Follow the show at Morning Stream. It's going to do it. Let's play music. What do you got?
All right. So Max wrote in between helping Hart and his wife Hart. Mm. I'm trying to remember. Couldn't remember their first names. Robert Wagner and Stephanie Powers on Heart to Heart. But anyway, hey, Shakira and Beyonce. On September 6th, I get to check an entry off my bucket list when my years of jamming away in a garage band finally pays off as I finally get to sit in for a concert with a real live signed to a record label band. It's been a long time coming, and I'm incredibly excited to have the opportunity.
So cool.
Well, yeah, congratulations. Mm. While I'm a fan of almost all types of music, my younger years, when I started this loud, expensive hobby, were spent as a true hair-whipping, axe-shredding metalhead. So I'd like to celebrate this milestone by requesting a cover by the Finnish band Children of Bodom. Their cover album, Skeletons in the Closet, features covers of songs by artists from Pat Benatar to CCR to Britney Spears, and anything that piques Brian's interest on there will do just fine. Marcel Marceau, though, Max.
Nice.
That's a good ending, too. Yeah, so I've got this album. It's great. Children of Bodom, and it's called Skeletons in the Closet. Like you said, a lot of covers on there. CCR, Creedence Clearwater Revival, Pat Benatar's Hell is for Children, Rebel Yell by Billy Idol. It's good stuff. The one I decided I think would be great for this show, is a cover of Kenny Rogers' first band, which was called The First Edition, Kenny Rogers and The First Edition. Fans of The Big Lebowski will recognize this instantly. The song is Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In. It's Children of Bodom from Skeletons in the Closet, Just Dropped In.
Nice. We'll see you guys tonight, 5:30 Mountain Time. Be there.
Saw naked people.